we're going to go to John in a minute, but go to Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, as we've talked so often, that what it says is, as you go into the world, or as you go into your world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
What's the word for creature there? You know?
It's the word that could be meaning every creature or every human. The same ones in Romans 8.
I mean, you just, well, you choose that. I mean, not necessarily.
No. Yeah. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, that's a biggie. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, there's all kinds of debates about whether or not, that there's a great debate that says that Mark 16 ended at verse 8.
Sure.
Huh?
That would sure be convenient.
Hmm. But the problem is then what do you do about the book of Acts? Before he split.
Wow.
So and then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
Wow. Cool.
Now, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I had a lot of interviews when I first started doing this with the Wycliffe Bible translators. They're this group that really do incredible stuff. Yeah. And they're here in Dallas. They're part of the International Linguistics Center. And it takes sometimes years, because most of the languages now that are not written down in the world are not written down. And so they have to go in and they have to hear and learn the language. They have to live with the natives for years and years to get the nuances. And then they have to try to develop a written language for them, then try to translate the gospel. Now there's this whole story of one of these translators that he didn't think they had any language whatsoever, and he couldn't figure out how they communicated. I mean, he was just it's a New Guinea tribe, and they talk, their sounds are just clucks.
Yeah, like Zulus.
No, not like Zulus.
Like Xhosa.
No, yeah, but this is there's no lip movement.
It's just
real. Anyway, so imagine, I mean, this guy was with them for some 15 years before he wrote one word. I mean, it's patience upon patience upon patience.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was universal among these people is they brought nothing into the kingdom when they became a believer. And they may have had only the Gospel of John or only Mark. Maybe that's all they were able to translate. And they go out and they lay hands on the sick and they recover. Whatsoever thing they ask, it shall be done for them by thy Father which is in heaven. It's expected. Now what happens here? First thing that happens is you do everything else. You do everything else except believe. That's why, and it's partly cultural, it's partly language, it's partly because we have this veneer of cultural Christianity, it's partly because of the language, but fundamentally it's because we don't believe.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, because we don't believe, we try to arrange And it's our habit pattern. You understand? We arrange. We're great arrangers in our minds. We try to arrange things so that we're not separate from the source of life. Well, God says, stop doing that, you dummies. You know by now that that never works. Stop concerning yourself with your risk. Pray to me. I delight to give to you all things freely. Don't even give it a second thought. Don't practice any degree of reasonableness. In the stupidity and act of a small child full of faith that says, Mommy, give me a quarter, come to me and ask for your healing. Ask. Whatsoever it is that you need. Again, there's nothing wrong with the gifts of God. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit. The only problem with these idiots is as they take it unto themselves. The Holy Spirit is given, and the gifts and calling of the Spirit are given to a body. And we can't be complete until all of the gifts of the Spirit are operating in the body. And the gifts of the Spirit operate like, there's one of them, the one of the gifts is governments. And it's like the endocrine system in your body. It releases the hormones at the right time. You're not going to, you know, we don't want to produce any more Robert Tiltons. So they're not going to, I mean, all that Tilton is just a little kid that's been given something, and he doesn't know how to use it. You know, it's the rich little kid with a credit card, and he just become a pain to everybody. But there's nothing wrong. Don't let his caricature cause or justify or give you an excuse not to believe. You understand me? They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what happens if you're a disciple. Let's look at John 14. Starting in verse 15. Excuse me. I am so hungry I'm going to die. I didn't have anything to eat. But I drank my drink, but it was like I didn't have anything. I was hungry at 4:00. Verse 15. Well, let's go up a little bit. I mean, it's an incredible thing. Verse 13.
Verse 12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You got to come face to face in your unbelief with those scriptures. I mean, they got to just kind of whap you. What do you do with that? Well, I know what to do with it. I know the way the carnal mind has a way out. It's this thing that says, well, maybe I'm not really asking in his name. That's the excuse for it not happening. Or, this is what the thrust of this interview tonight was with this woman whose husband died. That's where I was. The woman, husband, cancer, deathly ill, huge tumor that collapsed one lung. The tumor was so big it collapsed his whole lung. Went to Tilton, carried it in on a stretcher, went to the church. They prayed for him. But they didn't tell him that the only reason they carried him in on a stretcher is because he couldn't get up and walk anyway. I mean, but they put him in on a stretcher because they just wanted to conserve his energy. So they prayed for him, and he got a rush of excitement. He got up. Crowd went wild. Great crowd pleaser, leaving your stretcher. But of course, he could leave his stretcher before he got there. Everything was wonderful. Praise God. God healed me. Then as he was leaving, Tilton says, or whatever they say to him, now, you've got to hold on to your healing now by believing. If you don't believe, the healing won't stick.
Oh, no. Oh,
few days later he died. But he died not only in ultimate pain and misery, but he died believing he was in unbelief. That's why I hate these guys so much.
That's just filthy.
So he died in trouble.
Yeah. Now, I hate those guys. I hate them. Now, I don't want you to let your mind get by with, well, I mean, you got to find out whether you believe or not. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he shall dwell with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Now let's go to 16, chapter 16.
This is all the stuff I was reading the other night.
I never saw that before. I will manifest myself to him.
It says that. Chapter 16. Well, we need to really go and start up 15:18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will I do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now, again, you've heard me say this, I'm sure, but the word service there is that laetri. It's the technical term that's used that means holy service in the temple. So if they kill you, they think they're doing God holy service in the, it was the temple service. And these things will I do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. Now remember, that's the reason for prophecy. Do you understand that not once in all of history has a biblical prophecy ever rightly been rightly interpreted before it happened? Not once. It wasn't interpreted right before it happened. It was only seen as it was happening or after it happened. That's what prophecy is. It's not to tell the future. It's to comfort you. So that you're not to think that these things are strange that are going on. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, what does that mean? Is that just a singular one-time effort? What does it mean in 2 Corinthians when Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And we that live no longer should no longer henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him that rose again. And that you should not eat, you know no man after the flesh. Yea, though you have known Christ after the flesh, yet now you even him know him no more. What does it mean not to know Christ after the flesh? And what does that have to do with if the Comforter can't come until he goes away? Think about it. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world, of this world, is judged. You all understand what that means, clearly, those three things? Okay. The only righteous, the only way, if you're going to judge, you have to take it all the way to the resurrection or ascension to the Father. If you're going to judge down, you have to take it all the way to the prince of the world being judged. Okay. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of or for or from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and show it unto you. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. What I'm trying to do is create in you, again, a hunger for the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Now we've read this before, but again, I wanted to, let's just look at this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at every one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as he will. Now,
doesn't that say tongues to some? It doesn't say tongues to all. It says tongues to some.
This is a, you'll see there are two kinds of tongues. There's tongues that are public tongues, which manifestation then comes a prophecy, which is a message for the people. The other is the private tongues, which is the prayer language. And the private tongue, this is in the Pentecostal and charismatic circles, that's one of the biggest debates there is. But I happen to believe that there's the private for all and the public for some, which is as a ministry gift. But the thing, and we'll go through and study all of the gifts. Now, again, there are nine gifts listed there. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, healings. It's something that's different. I mean, it's something supernatural. Now, at one time or another, every single one of these gifts has worked many times in this body. But what we've never done is say to somebody that they have a gift of healing or they have a gift because, and what I want us to recognize, and it's again, it's probably my fault, that I have quenched the openness of the Holy Spirit based on my suspicion of what was going on that I had seen in the charismatic and Pentecostal world. Now I want to take off all restraints. We are mature enough to be able to, let's have the fullness of God here. Amen?
Amen. I want to say again, because I don't want to hide this in me. I say amen to that. And, I mean, I love supernatural stuff. And I don't feel at all weird. In fact, I like it when I hear you speak in tongues. I like it when I hear Gary speak in tongues. I mean, there's something about it. Gary, I mean, I just know, I mean, with everything in me, I know it's true. So there's that. On the other hand, my mind is telling me that I am going to be required to do this to belong. And that, you know, when I even start to think about that, I just feel really weird.
No.
I mean, I want to. I would love to. I would love to have that in my head instead of the crap that's in there.
Okay, well,
I really want that.
I want to show you guys something. Okay? It's no big mystery. It's no big deal. You open your mouth up and you let happen whatever happens, except that if it's English, you stop it. And I really believe, because I know enough about language structure and I can sometimes pull myself out and listen. I mean, I really believe when I do it that I'm talking some ancient weird language. I mean, I really believe it. Because it's got all a lot, it sounds like sentences and weird and vocabularies. But I'm on the other hand, I've heard other people do it that I trust implicitly, and their total vocabulary is 10 sounds. But what happens is this mystery. You present yourself as the sacrifice. You open yourself up to it. And then you begin the process, and as the Spirit gives utterance, you start it. And something happens. Almost every single time, and I do this constantly, without even thinking, without any thought, the first thing that always comes out is Prostana Nahaya. Prostana Nahaya. And it's a repeat of it. And I know in the Spirit it means praise you, Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then whatever else happens, it's simply a matter of opening your mouth. Now, of all people on the face of the earth, we must be now among those that don't trust our carnal mind and the tools of our carnality. And Harry, you always think about why he always different. He doesn't. The only reason I'm different is because I think in tongues, so that I don't have to concern myself with whether or not I'm doing something right or thinking about it right or going down the right path. My mind thinks in tongues. So I can shut this off. And there can be, if there's either silence in the temple or there's this language that I can't understand, which probably infuriates me. It's a neat thing. And it's not something that, you know, most people sit around and say, I'm going to wait for it. Well, you'll be waiting until hell freezes over. Am I communicating?
Yeah, I believe.
And it's just one of, I mean, it's not, I don't want to act, yeah, yeah. It's not something we're not going to start running around worshiping tongues. I just feel that we as a body need the fullness of the Holy Spirit now.
Something like it was,
communication or, you know, touching with Liz a lot of times would be through language. And when that is totally appropriated and you are not, I think language and control are tied somehow in that way. Even if I even told Ned, even if you sit there and you say, for 20 minutes, it's still something that you're saying, okay, you know, I give this up instead of, you know, God's never going to come by and yank
my hand. Yeah, but yeah, the alternative is sitting there and calculating. Calculating is getting so boring.
It's tiring.
It's so sick. And it's so useless, and it's so...
I'm going to start a magazine. Calculating monthly.
Calculating our...
Calculating moment.
Calculating today.
I do agree with that. I don't care if I calculate 24 hours a day, I can still say... I really don't see that... You're delivering any new thing. I mean, it's going to, unless God prevents things, it will deliver other stuff like this or that or a car or a different job or some other doobob. But I don't see it delivering anything startlingly new. And I'm kind of bored with that.
Or enduring. It's never anything enduring.
Well, I want us to somehow be fully persuaded in each of our minds that it's something that we are open to. And, you know, I'll study it as long and as much as we need to. You know, answer any questions as best I'm able to. But I think part of what's going through in me is I feel like I've quenched the Holy Spirit in this body. Now I feel like I maybe have to help him out to make up for it, you know. Maybe. That's probably kind of dumb, too.
You know, we started talking about the Holy Spirit a long time ago. Yeah. Just when we read this, and I thought, word of wisdom, that's as far as we got. Yeah. It's a shame.
Well, what struck me, though, it was the futility of studying those things unless it was experienced. Okay, do you mind if we quit early?
Would you that you not forget what you said, or one of the things you prefaced that with about the constant debate in the Pentecostal and charismatic movement. Beverly Hills Baptist Church, good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't make any sense, was literally split asunder, and that's when the church went from a 4,000 membership back to its original 700 or 800. That's when Larry Lee split off and went out on the rock. It was because the division caused by, if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You are not saved. You are an outcast and all that, which I don't believe that.
No, nor do I, nor, you know, 1,000,000,000 miles from that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. What I want to make clear, though, is that this process for us as a body to go through is like a small child learning to do something, and the interpretation of it, it's like, man, you've got to follow that you've got to follow the impulse. You've got to say, if there's that, you've got to speak it. You've got to speak what's there. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
it's the instant prophet. If you hold it in, then you're back again. Pretty soon, the dam is going to be built up again. And
okay, well, this ain't going to come out right because I've been holding back for days. But let's get it out. And this is it. I feel like we have a liturgy. I mean, the things I heard and saw Sunday night, I've heard and seen those things before.
I agree. I hate it.
You have an argument with Larry or Gary, and then we start talking about the Spirit. And then you feel bad about quenching the Spirit. And then Pam interprets something, and it's the same interpretation word for word.
Well, I don't think that's the truth.
Well, I feel it. That's how I feel it. I've heard that before. I'm not saying anything about
probably
that.
Right. It's probably God telling the same damn thing over and over again.
Trying to get us to wake up.
But it just felt
wake
like,
up!
Here we go on this spirit liturgy again, and I don't want to feel that way. I don't know.
Wait, no, I don't either. And I want you to say that when you feel it. Okay?
Chow time.
Food or us? Take a big guy.